Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Hello, one and all. It is a new season. It is a new day. And I am the one and only Dr. Shawande Mustakeem. And today I wanted to come back on now that classes are back in session, that new conversations are happening, and stimulation, innovation, all of it is happening. Also, we all should know. We all should know. We all should be in the know. So this week in college, this week in Black history, there was a lot of learning going on. And again, today's conversation, I really want to empower the future for the future for the future to know what's going on inside the classroom that we all should have already known, because that also is becoming very telling about at least the American household as well as the American education. And that is where class ended today, and I was so excited to come on and tell everybody what's going on in Mustakeem's class, because, hey, we're all ready to learn and lift ourselves to higher vibrations in the knowingness, but we also have to look at what do we know, how do we know what we know, and why do we not know more? Because we can't expect the gifts and the memes and all that to really empower the future. We have to begin to step into self-learning. And so from the beginning, I'm teaching two classes, just so you know, two popular classes that have long history and herstory. The first is called Medicine, Healing, and Experimentation in the Contours of Black History. Again, as I said to my students, that's a long title. However, it has drawn students for 14 years, maybe 12. I've taught it for many years, where I am now at Washington University in St. Louis. But it is also an iteration of something that developed when I was still in grad school, and I saw the value then so many decades ago. So here we are now in 2021, packed class for this Black medical history class, the only one in the country, that empowers those who want to go to med public health programs. It racially empowers them. It allows a deeper understanding of the deeper history of how Black bodies have moved and become so central, not only in the medical world, but really thinking about the American medical profession and its connection to, yes, this very fragile, this very delicate relationship with African Americans. So within this class, we're going from the slave trade. What? Yeah, beyond plantation. We're starting with the slave trade, and that's where we started in the class. But we're going all the way contemporary. We're going to new books, we're going to new conversations, and we're going to vital topics. And it's a packed class, and it's diverse.
largely women, but diverse, diverse, diverse. It's exciting, and people want to be there. They keep showing up. They're excited. They love the energy. I would love the energy, too, if I was my own professor when I was in college. But that said, the other class that I'm teaching is Mapping the World of, quote-unquote, Black Criminality. You know, it's very interesting to see when crime is, quote, in, and then crime is what? I don't think we'll ever see crime go out. We all know that. So this class that I'm teaching, we got some, I'm excited. We have some really smart young minds around the table, many of whom want to go to law school. So here's another group. In this class, again, Mapping the World of, quote-unquote, Black Criminality, it is a kind of two-part class that brings together two important conversations. It's looking at the history of policing Black communities as well as looking at the social history of Black crime. Because in order to understand policing, we've got to understand crime and vice versa. But what does it look like when Blackness is all over it and marked and criminalized? And so, once again, we start from the slave trade, and because yours truly wrote the 2-time award-winning book, Slavery is Sea, Terror, Sex, and Sickness, in the Middle Passage. It is a must-read because it goes from the point of capture to the point of sale to get us to understand the human experience that went on for over four centuries. We should already know that. However, came out in 2016, and here we are in 2021. And both class there, starting with that whole notion of slavery at sea. However, in coming into the class, both classes, they both were reading the same thing on the first day, but thinking about it in two different ways. So they were reading an article that Vox published in 2020, and I was very grateful to be tapped to answer the myth on the Tuskegee study that happened at Tuskegee University in Alabama, but also that has given rise to what people think of as the Tuskegee experiment. So within this, we were debunking the myth. Were they injected with syphilis? Were these 600 Black men injected with syphilis or not? And within this Vox article, again, you can go and Google it, and then you will see Moose Sakeem, Vox article 2020, Tuskegee, that I'm debunking that. That is not true. So we're already starting there at the door, hitting the myth that students thought that there was the injection. However, there's also the exploit of people's lives, their being impoverished, that really happens. So again, I go encourage everybody to check it out. But the students in both classes had to read that. And in addition, they read this really important article that came out 10 years ago that looks at a Black woman who was thrown overboard off the slave ship because she had smallpox, because she was diseased. So they, again, both classes, the other sort of reading it through the lens of criminality and policing. Then we're thinking about quarantine. Then we're thinking about the transmission of disease. Then we're thinking about how far that humans will go in the treatment, and yes, we will say, the mistreatment of enslaved people, of Black people, out in the middle of the ocean when no one is there. So this is important because I've really, in both classes, it's about, again, seeing human history in action. And then this being one of two articles still right now in the world that centers a Black woman or a Black female aboard a slave ship because we know so much. But we got to keep going. So again, the students, they started there. But then where the split came is that in the MHE class, in the Medicine, Healing, and Experimentation, the Contours of Black History, in the Medical History class, where we have now gone is to continue this conversation. A few things. What do you know about slavery? How did you learn about slavery? Did you learn about slavery? What did your American education look like? And why was that revealing? We hear students say that there was a demonstration of a whipping in class at a museum. Wow, okay, very eyebrow-raising for many in the class. But then we also hear that students are watching the original Roots, that they're getting the insight. Maybe they're watching one episode on the slave ship. How very interesting. But then the majority of the class is talking about how slavery has been left to a mathematical understanding so we can get on to what matters. That means these students are coming in, most of whom never taken Black History, Black Studies. And then if we even look at high school, literature is kind of it, African-American literature, maybe a section. That doesn't count in a Black medical history course. However, what became very revealing is to see that they began to question their own American education as they should. And then also thinking about our own parents. Where and how do we learn about slavery, if at all? Why do you have to then wait this long? What did you do to go and find out more? Why not? Who'd you think about? What'd you think about? What'd you see? What do you remember? And that's very telling. So maybe in the future, there really should be a dialogue between teachers and those who've gone on to really begin to think about how do we think about a future curriculum that does better instead of all the call out. But it is recognized when we're not where we think we know. So I make that very clear. But where everyone knows they have a place at the table, we're all going to learn together. It's all going to make sense so long as we recognize that we are not far in the educational system, outside the home or at home, because, hey, maybe we don't have time. But also there hasn't been a long privileging of Black history within any curriculum, at least not American. It has to come from the roots. So we continued that conversation within the medical history class, and we started reading Slavery at Sea. So we talked about how it has become what it is, and then we almost three chapters. And then we ended by looking at a clip of Amistad, which was also very interesting because I know this clip so much because I've used it that I had to end up explaining to the students that because I was rushing and just went on YouTube and was able to find the middle passage scene from Amistad, that they were watching an edited version. What in the world? So that was an education for me to think and tell these students, oh, wow, this movie was a sign to me. We were going to the theaters when I was back in the day, when I was in college. However, the clip that I'm showing them, I'm having to say, oh, well, hold on now. Actually, more of the horrors were cut out. So then they began to see visually what cutting out even the worst can do. But yet for them, it was seeing what they were reading. So in learning about the who and what, learning about the human manufacturing system, which Slavery at Sea is built on, warehousing, transport, and delivery. But then also the making and the unmaking of enslaved people and Black people. And this is where the medical world finds its deepest connection to Black people through absolute exploit and the stepping into bigger careers. So this is what my students are beginning, and they need to, because it does not begin really in any particular. However, the North American version has done it best and branded it almost. But that said, the students are thinking about where does medical history begin and where does it really take deeper shape, and it does, aboard slave ships. So that's where we were in our conversation today. And then within the criminality course, very interesting, we talked about Angela Davis, the article that she would write in 1972 about women and slavery and their role, their central role. But this article would be the first of any article that would ever even talk about Black women and slavery. Yeah, we would have books that would come that everybody would read. But the first article that then has the irony of when she was on the FBI Most Wanted list and then the history that goes beyond it. So we're reading her article, and then we're reading another article by Meredith Roman that looked actually at the criminalization of Angela Davis. So that, and the history that goes up into now. So we begin to talk about how icons are icons, but we can't think deeper. We're like, yeah, we know them. What does that mean to know them? And then what do we know? And then also, again, what do we know about slavery? And imagine this connection of slavery to the carceral world, to the land base. So all of this is turning over in the student's mind. And we also talked about something that a lot of us, that we may laugh at, or we may sort of even overlook. And this is now thinking about race and mugshots. So we began to look at the criminalizing just by hair, by glasses, of anyone that would fit even in that time in the 70s and how that's used over and over. We looked at Asada Shakur. We're looking at Michelle Obama and how that whole article would come out that would transform her hairstyle into an afro, and then we see the gun. So again, we were looking at the images and the criminalizing through the images themselves, while we also, I invited the students to go and look at James Brown's mugshot. Because again, if we're looking at a, when you're criminalizing, we're seeing that visual, it is not glamour shot. However, racially, certain groups of people do get that. Because as I told my students, what was very interesting and why I even know about James Brown or remember James Brown's mugshot was because when I was in college, that very mugshot was in the Time magazine that I was reading that was also talking about the shooting in Colorado. So there I see two very polished, dreamy-like looking pictures of the two men who killed many. And then we see James Brown where it's just racist. It's marked in every way of how his hair looked, how he looked in the image. And so the students who were talking about that going even more because there are so, it's just so many different tentacles connected in all of this. But again, you know, this first week, this whatever the real week is, it is introduction to a lot more of where we want to go. But where we as a world really should think about, where should we start? Why are we waiting so late? Everybody can't go to college. So how do we learn? How do, where do we start? And that was also inviting students to understand, hey, do we all know W.E.B. Du Bois? Well, then, yeah, so there's Souls of Black Folks, but most don't realize that he wrote the first book on the slave trade in 1896. And that becomes important because we should know that. We should have a vast library if we can. We should begin to empower at home and then encourage more instead of cutting out more. So I know that I sound like I'm going on and on, as we all should, because Black history matters, Black studies matter. And when we begin to look at it, the demands are calling for more, then we should do better to learn more. So this is like really exciting for me to come on and continue what I tried to start doing at the beginning of the year, where, hey, teaching under a pandemic is really not easy. But now, you know, being back in person, this is my flow. It's where we all can connect and we all can learn. And that's what I really do in every class. I've been doing this for a long time. Love it. I'll continue to do it. As long as I am here in the multiverses, I will continue to do it. And there is a certain way that I do it. There is no script. It's just I show up, and then I just know. Because everyone has a place at the table. When you divide, that's not going to work. So it is about finding that balance with these students where everyone can find their place in the deeper understanding. And that's where I try my best to go deep in that, to empower, so that way 10 years from now, you'll still be thinking about, whoa, what does policing look like in slavery? Whoa, she hit me upside the head with that one. I didn't see that coming. Right, because somehow we've equated policing outside of slavery, but we've got to begin to understand that policing finds its greatest hold and earliest learning in slavery. Through slavery. In fact, starts within the carceral bowels of slave ships, that policing and this need for the containment and confinement of Black people, it doesn't begin on Southern plantations where everyone thinks that all of slavery happens. This is more about recognizing that for four centuries, policing Black people was aboard slave ships, and it was endorsed. It was sanctioned. There was a full investment in it. So it got its earliest historical and historical iteration. But now, later, even before the slave trade is done, as we're seeing the importation of Black people across the diaspora, that is also coming into bear a new policing under slavery. So the students are thinking about that, like, wow, this is important. In these connections, we need to know slave patrols matter. That's why you have people who feel like it's their civic duty, get unruly. And the students, they're seeing it, they're understanding it. So within the medical history courses, they're reading Slavery at Sea. Then they are about to be immersed in thinking about violence. And that's the other thing that came up in class today. Was about this economy of violence that everyone is susceptible to slavery. Everyone, no one is immune. But at the same time, there was the always ever present economy of violence that you could either facilitate, be a part, and then also find yourself at the center of. So when we begin to look at that, then it gives deeper understanding to medical terror and Black history, as well as looking at just the mistreatment, the brutality, the horrors that were exacted upon Black people that really took great shape in policing. Keep you in chains. Keep you locked up. I determine everything about you. I'll break you down. Break you down and make you into what I want you to. All of that. That's what they're reading to understand. And it's not about creating a division because, again, we've got very diverse classes. But this is about understanding the tough stuff of history and going there. And the students that keep showing up because they know that they should have already learned this. So this, again, is a moment of activation for all of us. For those teachers who will be teaching in the future, we need to start thinking about the slave trade much earlier. Kindergarten, sure, why not? Maybe even third grade, fifth grade. But why are we waiting to throw it all in a literature class or a one Black studies class in college? No, we got to go deeper. And we also need to think about the who of slavery. If we continue to only talk about muscled adult Black men, we're failing the future in remembering the past. We've got to think about Black women, Black girls, the elderly, diseased, disabled. What? Yes, say it isn't so. Disability and slavery. That also comes up within slavery at sea because we have had this conversation going with myself and several other scholars. Stephanie Kennedy, whose book you need to check out, as well as Jennifer Barclay. We all have been a part of disability and slavery conversations. Now it's about the past and the future catching up with what does disability mean in Black history. So these are all the questions, the thoughts that the students sort of left with as we continue to think about the makings and the unmakings of Black people through the slave trade, through slavery at sea, as well as the Middle Passage. So I realize I don't really study happy things. However, it is empowering for me to know that many of us know we need to go deeper in the learning, and now is the time. If not now, then when? And guess what? For some of you all, if it's not now, then you're already late because the future has already been reading this. This class has sent more students on to med school than any other class that I've teach. And my criminality course has sent more students on to law school. So we're having students coming into these professions already with a deeper understanding where for them it almost could seem like old news, like, wow, is that new to you? We should have these deeper conversations, and we're going to continue to have it. And so that's what I'm going to do my best to keep showing up as often as I feel, whenever I feel led, to come on and just talk because there's a whole lot happening. And I don't always have time to slow down and tell us, but these are the moments. There's important books that you should look up. You should go and look at Rick Wiesel's book, which is thinking about race and climate. But more importantly, looking at the 1927 Mississippi flood, you should go check out Deirdre Cooper Owens' book, Medical Bondage. There's just so much. And we're just going to keep it coming in terms of these resources. Again, I just want to just highlight that this is an opportunity for a lot of us to go deeper. You don't have to go to college to be in the know on what's happening within college. I'll do my best to try to empower us, but at the same time, do your homework. Come on, get off that scroll and maybe go scroll for deeper information instead of what's going on in the neighbor's house and up the street and around the corner. Because, again, there's a lot of things that are happening. The future is going to be a part of the future, and we want you to be a part of the future. So with that, here's the beginning, here's the ending, or the so-called ending, as we're thinking about what happened this week in Black history, what happened in Musa King's classes. It's, again, I am the one and only in the multiverses on the planet, and right here in this moment reporting to you from St. Louis, Missouri, it's me, Dr. Shawande Musa King. And when I can empower, then I'm doing my job. But if people are not in the know, then we're not taking it deep. For me, it's about the energy, the engagement, and then just the wanting to be there, the wanting to learn, because I come from two families that it's all about information and information sharing and Black history and Black culture and all of these amazing things. So here we are on September 8th, and we're finding our power, and we're really just thinking about how do we go to higher levels in our knowingness about Black history and Black studies and medical history, Black medical history, all these different concepts that we need to really make a part of our lexicon, including Black psychology. If your university has psychology, then the next time you sign up for classes, make sure you ask them when's the next time that Black psychology is going to be offered. Because I know Black in the 90s and coming on into this 21st century, there were friends that were actively a part and connected deeply to Black psychology and that whole network. So, again, we think about our terms, we go deeper, then we can know more. So I am, again, the one and only Dr. Shawnee Luther King, and I wanted to come on and talk Black history and keep you empowered. Here's to the future, here's to the past, and here's to all of us making present time to go deep in that Black history. All right, now, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.